You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
February the 5th, 2020, the Senate will hold the final vote in the impeachment trial of President Trump at 3 Central Time. 3. They are expected to acquit Donald Trump. A conviction requires a two-thirds majority, and Senate Republicans have a 53-47 majority in the chamber. And there are some Democrats that are going to fall on their sword thinking that I'm doing the right thing for the country and I'll be loved for it. Not likely. But one of them, Democrat Doug Jones, announcing that when the Senate convenes, he will vote to convict. He said, I've had a lot of sleepless nights, but I think he's guilty. You're going to have a lot more sleepless nights. He is, of course, considered a swing vote before his announcement because he's running for re-election in a state, Alabama, that heavily supported Trump in 2016. In the State of the Union last night, I don't care what you think about President Trump, what you like or don't like about him, his tweets, his remarks, and I would even say sometimes his classless actions, but he said one thing that should be taken to the heart of every American who cares about fellow citizens. That would include you Democrats when he said every child is a miracle of life. That, of course, is not going well with those who believe in snuffing them out with abortions. And, of course, the reaction continues after Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker, ripped up her copy of the speech when the president had finished. Just stood there behind him, ripping two or three pages at a time, picking up more, ripping them again. And you got some Democrats supporting her, others appalled by it, others are saying that could come back to haunt us, and others saying, you know, it wasn't just his speech. You ripped up names and stories of Americans that were praised during that speech. And yet you've got the mainstream media that will help give her protection and cover. And the MSNBC anchor Nicole Wallace went on a rant, saying basically Trump is the enemy. Now, that's interesting because remember, Trump has said the press is the enemy. And I don't like him saying that. But now we've got a mainstream news anchor saying the president is the enemy of the people. All right, so how are we doing up in Iowa? Hello, Iowa. Hello, Iowa. The latest numbers say that Pete Buttigieg is narrowly leading the presidential field, but they still don't have all the results in. They still don't. They've only got maybe 70%. And of that, Sanders is also ahead with 24% to Buttigieg 21%. So I just said Buttigieg is leading. How's that going? Well, because they're looking at it in different ways. Not going to matter anyway when you get done with it. And in fact, James Carville, former Clinton advisor when Bill Clinton was running for the White House, you're going to hear from him in a few minutes talking about how he thinks his party is scaring him because they don't get it. And they're going to help reelect Trump. That's coming up in a moment. The chief executive of the Tokyo 2020 Olympics going public said, I'm concerned about the deadly coronavirus and how it could affect this year's games. In the meantime, a U.S. citizen is among those infected on a large cruise liner, 3,700 passengers and crew, all in quarantine in Japan because of the deadly coronavirus on board. The United Kingdom stepping forward to saying we're going to ban the sale of new gas and diesel cars by 2035. No more gas are diesel cars sold and offered in the UK by 2035. We got a powerful winter storm dropping 2 inches of snow on El Paso, and now it's moving across the heartland, and pushing all the way to Detroit and Chicago. Winter storm warnings in effect. If you know anyone that plans to be driving west and in that direction, they need to be aware they may find the roads impassable, if not, in fact, closed. We're not quite into spring and summer. But on this date, I still point out that every day that we don't have ice and snow is one less day to contend with it. But we still aren't done.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington Environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. To hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This is not going particularly well so far. And why is Tom Perez still the chairman of the Democratic National Committee? I have no idea. This party needs to wake up and make sure that we talk about things that are relevant to people. We need to go back to 2018, where we had good, diverse, strong candidates that had real connections to the community and talked about real things. We don't need to become the British Labour Party.
That, the words of James Carville. James Carville, nicknamed the Raging Cajun, American political commentator, of course, now, media personality, lawyer, prominent figure in the Democrat Party, or was. He was the lead strategist when Arkansas Governor Bill Clinton then ran for the White House. And Carville got a lot of credit for recognizing what needs to be done to get Bill Clinton into the White House. But what you heard him say then is, this party, my Democrat Party, has got to wake up. He said, we're not the British Labor Party. And by that, he's talking about that we seem to be wanting to give anything and everything away. He's acknowledging, he's flat out acknowledging, the leftists are in control of his party at this point, and it's not getting any better. In fact, he was asked in one interview, what do you think about Senator Warren? He said, well, for God's sake, Senator Warren, get real out here. Let's move this thing along. He said, she's got the best bio I've seen in a presidential campaign. She had a very good critique of which is that corruption is holding the country back. But for some reason, I don't know why, she decided to chase Bernie's left tail all over the country and become known for exotic positions, to put it mildly. And she came back to what, if she can get back to what I know she's about, I don't know her well, but obviously she is very smart. I think she understands. So she could be the guy, the woman. Carville thinks it could maybe turn this party around. But he's already been upset to no end. How his party has kind of bought into the AOC and the new squad thing. And, of course, she, AOC, is bought in all the way to Bernie. In this interview, appearing on MSNBC, Carvel was also asked about Biden. I mean, Biden is just not showing. I mean, we still don't have all the numbers out of Iowa, but the clear picture is Biden doesn't exist. Now, they like to talk about a firewall that he's got in South Carolina, that he has black vote support there that no other candidate currently running could touch. That's questionable. That's really questionable. But while we're on the issue of race, by the way, before I let you hear what Carvel has to say about Biden, there are members of the Democrat Party very upset with what's happened in Iowa, and they're saying it's racist. That's right. Now they're saying their own Iowa caucus is racist. You understand the difference between the primary, states that hold primaries, and states that hold a caucus. The caucus is organized by the party in that state. Like in Iowa, the Democrats organize, put together the caucus. It's not paid for and put together by the state as a primary. That's why it's kind of a helter-skelter, ramble-shamble type event. The kind of thing you used to do when you rode on horseback from one precinct to another. And yet they still believe in it. They're still doing it. Maybe not so much after this and the debacle that they're still trying to uncover. But a primary, that's statewide. State puts it on, you go and you take a vote. You may have a closed primary where you may have to identify, do you want to vote in the Republican side of the ticket or the Democrat ticket? And they'll give you one, and then you go in and cast your vote. Or it may be an open primary. You could vote for either side. Makes no difference. The caucus is run by that particular party. So when I watch and see Democrats upset, angry, saying it's, in Iowa, too white. Actually, in Iowa, it is white. It is white. But they want to blame racism now because they don't like some of the results coming out. Would that be because Biden did not get a lot of support they expected? I don't know. We'll see how they want to try to describe it. But James Carville, what do you think about Uncle Joe at this point having a chance to be president?
He has had an honorable life in politics, all right? This is just not the time. And so what's happened is he blocked out access from my guy Michael Bennett, from my dear friend Governor Bullock, blocked out access from Senator Booker. Probably some people that were going to run didn't run because he was in the race. And he's going to, maybe he'll come back, but he's going to have a difficult time. This is not a very good night for him, to say the least.
No, it wasn't. And that's just what's happening in Iowa. And you have to keep in mind the other part of what Carnegie was saying. Because Biden was in the race, some others decided, we better not get in. I mean, you know, Obama hasn't endorsed him yet, but he's the status quo. He's the sure thing, supposedly. So no sense us trying to run in and trying to collect money and had to falter and fall to the side anyway. So maybe he curtailed, shortchanged, cut out, detoured some candidates who might have made a better run. That's what Carvel is suggesting. And I think it's a very real possibility. Look at when Bloomberg came in. Bloomberg made the decision to jump in, on one hand, recognizing there's nobody in the field right now that can beat Trump. None. And that's still true, even with Bloomberg in. And Biden is faltering, falling aside. Like Carvel said, he's had a horrible time lately. I mentioned a moment ago about the Iowa caucus and all the concerns about it. And we're going to talk in more detail in a moment about what's going on, and are they resolved this issue yet? And the answer, short answer, is no. But what does it mean? How's it going to affect the party? What's it mean going forward? But I mentioned that we've got Democrats claiming that the Iowa caucus is just too white. The racial composition of the state of Iowa, 90.5% white, 3.4% black or African American, Asian 2.2%. Now, I'm sure there's a Hispanic number in there as well, and others. Iowa, with 90%. Now, if that's going to be their concern and their issues going forward, they better look at what the other states are and that they're going to be dealing with trying to pull up votes. Vermont, 95% white. Maine, 95%. Vermont, 96%. West Virginia, 94%. If they're trying to blame what's happened in Iowa for Biden falling to the wayside and not getting any support, it's not going to get any better for him as you go down that road. But the thing Carville keeps coming back to is trying to make it clear. He said, the whole purpose, the only goal we should have, the only thing that should concern my party at this point is who are we going to put in the line to stand up against Donald Trump.
There's only one moral imperative in this country right now, and that is to beat Donald Trump. That's the only moral imperative. It's the only thing I want to hear. And until we understand that, we win every argument, Brian. We win the argument on anything. We don't win elections because we talk about stuff that is not relevant. We had a great experience in 2018, and the day after, we started all this goofy stuff. So hopefully we got time to jerk this thing back and be about health care and prescription drug prices and education and infrastructure and climate and diplomacy and rejuvenating whatever it is. But this is not happening so far. And we can't act like this is going well. We can't come out and put three wonderful talking points. We need to, these campaigns have got to be more relevant. For God's sake, Senator Warren, get real out here and you know, let's move this thing along. And we got to do that.
You can almost hear the anxiety and fright in his voice. He's admitting he's scared. He said, I'm scared of what's going to happen, and saying we've got to be more relevant. And he's exactly right. That's why they are losing, and that's fine by me. As he pointed out, he said, we were doing great with 2016. He's talking about that midterm election. He said, we were doing great. Not 2016, the 2018 midterm. He said, and then we started doing all this goofy stuff. And by goofy, well, they're wrapping up part of it today with the vote of the Senate on the impeachment effort. And that was something, to her credit, Nancy Pelosi was fighting against and saying it would not be a good idea. But she got pressured and pushed into it. And now they will be paying a price for it. And again, Carville's statement is you've got to be relevant. You got to be appealing to things that matter to American citizens. And he said we got to get back to having strong, diverse candidates. He says, if we don't reach that point, if we don't reach that, if we can't turn that corner, Donald Trump is going to win.
I'm just looking at the mega polling averages. I'm looking at public opinion right now. And frankly, we got to snap back and get this thing going, or I don't even think about what would happen if we had four more years of Trump. But this is so far not so good. That's my analysis. Well, like talking about people voting from jail cells. All right, we're talking about not having a border. I mean, come on, people.
That's James Carville saying, look what our party is doing, our platform, what we're trying to do with it. Allowing people to vote from jail cells, not having a border, not criminalizing it if you come into the country illegally. He knows, he knows he's a good Southern boy to that extent, and he knows he can see the pulse of America is, by God, we're going to stand to defend this country. We're not going to just simply have open borders, and if you're in jail, you're in jail and you lose privileges such as a right to vote. That's just understood by most Americans. It's the leftist out-to-lunch brain snowflakes out there that don't understand that. And they think, well, will that get us more votes? Yeah, you'll get convicts voting for you. You'll get illegals coming in maybe voting for you, or then again, maybe not. But I love the fact that Carville is running around, and there's not a thing he can do about it. And he's admitted from the very beginning, as we began this segment, that Perez should not be heading up the party at this point. Who should? He said, I don't know, ask Nancy Pelosi. He said, that's my idea. Get her in there. I don't think that's going to work either at this point. In other words, the Democrats are flailing away. Could throw them a life raft. I'd throw them a life raft. Tied to a 5,000-ton anchor. Don't want to hurt them, but let them get a little water in their face and realize we lost again. All right, let's see what's happening in Iowa. This could be exciting. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So Iowa Democrats are still kind of mum as to when you could see the full caucus results. They're currently holding at 71% reporting. And out of that, they say Pete Buttigieg has 11 delegates, Bernie Sanders has 11, Elizabeth Warren 5, Joe Biden zippo. They're basing that on the votes they have in so far. Buttigieg having 26.8% over Sanders, 25.2%. But I want you to look behind those numbers. Behind those numbers of that percentage, the actual number, to show you how these caucuses are run, the actual count of those making up the 26.8% for Buttigieg and giving him 11 delegates is 419 votes, 419. Bernie Sanders, 394. Oh, it's a mess up there. And now we're told that according to the Washington Post reporting, the Democrat National Committee is coming in and taking over and saying we're actively engaged in calling the leaders of each caucus to verify the results. They're now calling precinct chairs asking for results. The Des Moines precinct chairman confirming the DNC wanted a copy of his tally sheet. In other words, they're looking for some irregularities, or are they looking for a way to get Bernie Sanders out of the way, and Buttigieg for that matter? They already acknowledge they have some problems up there, and as I said a moment ago, they've even got mainstream media analysts on their side saying, well, it's a race issue in Iowa. As if they suddenly realized Iowa, as I stated a moment ago, is, what was the number again? 90% white. They're worried about what's going to happen in Maine and Vermont and New Hampshire. They're all 95% or more. But a political analyst for MSNBC said the Iowa caucus was a perfect example of systemic racism. 91% of all the voters in Iowa are white, she said. And the reason you see a drop in turnout, it could be that perhaps white children are not in the cages. So when are you talking about this tangible pain that black and brown people are feeling? Do they feel the sense of urgency because their kids are being put in cages? She said, I'm not saying this is a reason, but could be a factor. They're are looking for something. How do we blame it on something? John Nolte of Breitbart, I think, summed it up perfect. He said the real story has nothing to do with the vote counting debacle, nothing to do with the racism, as they want to make it. He said the presidential election is won and lost on only three things. Enthusiasm. And nobody is pulling great numbers out of those candidates running. If they get 2,000 inside one of their rallies, they think they have made a trip to the moon. 2,000. No, it's not going to work. Not when you see 20,000 minimum trying to get into a Trump rally. Speaking of Donald Trump, let's go back and review a couple of things he said last night in the State of the Union, on part to praise them, and secondly, just to jab them in the eye again. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Our agenda is relentlessly pro-worker, pro-family, pro-growth, and most of all, pro-American.
President Trump last night in the State of the Union address. How can you argue against that? We're for our families, we're for our jobs, we're for America. And yet not one Democrat stood and applauded those remarks. Not one. And the chief Democrat, Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, sitting right behind the president, just sat there looking around like, oh, I wonder if I got my nail appointment later today, or where is my broom? Oh, I did it again. I said I wouldn't do that, but I did. They are so filled with hate, they would not acknowledge something that should have had everybody standing. But that wasn't the only time they didn't stand. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi did not stand, didn't even applaud, as the president introduced a young girl from Philadelphia, a fourth grader, who was going to get a scholarship so she could go to a school of her choice. Not that it makes any difference, but it's a young black girl, a fourth grader. Didn't stand. Didn't want to celebrate it. And in fact, to that extent, since I brought that up, and then also he honored the Tuskegee last surviving airman, who, of course, is black, because the Tuskegee airmen were black, You've got folks like Al Green, congressman of Democrat of Texas, suggesting that the president goes to black people and uses them, especially black women and women of color, as chattel. He says he seems to see us as chattels that he can use when appropriate, when he doesn't have a genuine concern. This is different, Al Green, than what we see with the Democrats. Is that right? Where the Democrats tell their black supporters, vote for us, we'll make things better for you. And then they forget about them until they have to come back around for another election. Is that the same thing you're suggesting, Al Green? Green even stated, well, the president, if you recall, at one of his rallies said, there's my black guy. Or I'm tempted to say some other things, but he mentioned that person at his rally. He said he seems to use this when it's appropriate, doesn't have a genuine concern. Does that sound racist on behalf of Al Green? I think it does. And former Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill made a similar remark appearing on one of the networks. And there was a picture of Ben Carson, our HUD secretary, Dr. Ben Carson, neurosurgeon, a black man. He's appearing on a plane with a bunch of folks wearing MAGA caps. And he's kind of in the center of the aisle as they take a picture of all of them with their caps on. And she makes a remark like, which one of these is not like the other? That would be the black man. That's what she's suggesting. Racist. And saying that he had to be squatting in the aisle because he didn't really have a seat. He was up in first class. He came back to take part in the picture. This is the kind of nonsense we're getting from the left. And they want to know why they can't seem to get a hold on things. Let me give you another example. I mentioned earlier, Congresswoman Tlaib said she walked out of President Donald Trump's State of the Union speech because she was triggered. Triggered when President Trump mentioned Kavanaugh as he recalled his efforts to get a new judge on the bench, the Supreme Court bench, and mentioned his name, Kavanaugh. And she was triggered. Oh my God, I can't stand it. And they won't stand for things that would be good for all America, that they continue to sit and don't do anything when President Trump makes this kind of statement?
We are advancing with unbridled optimism and lifting our citizens of every race, color, religion, and creed very, very high. Since my election, we have created 7 million new jobs, 5 million more than government experts projected during the previous administration. The unemployment rate is the lowest in over half a century. And very incredibly, the average unemployment rate under my administration is lower than any administration in the history of our country.
Jobs and support. That should be something for all Americans. But the left right now, as James Carville, former political analyst strategist for Bill Clinton, stated earlier in this hour, and I'll let you hear him again. His party is focused on nothing relevant.
There's only one moral imperative in this country right now, and that is to beat Donald Trump. That's the only moral imperative. It's the only thing I want to hear. And until we understand that, we win every argument, Brian. We win the argument on anything. We don't win elections because we talk about stuff that is not relevant. We had a great experience in 2018, and the day after, we started all this goofy stuff. So hopefully we got time to jerk this thing back and be about health care and prescription drug prices and education and infrastructure and climate and diplomacy and rejuvenating, whatever it is. But this is not happening so far. And we can't act like this is going well We can't come out and put three wonderful talking points. We need to, these campaigns have got to be more relevant. For God's sake, Senator Warren, get real out here and you know, let's move this thing along. And we got to do that.
And James Carville says, I'm scared to death for the Democrat Party at this point. I don't know that if he'd want to jump in, if he were offered the job to jump in and try to right the ship and take control of it. Or at this point, he'd say, no, you're too far underwater. I can't do a thing for you. And if they had anything going for them at all, the attitude last night, not standing during prime key statements of the president that would benefit all Americans, and not be anything that would be against Obama accomplishments or Democrat accomplishments, but what we've achieved for all Americans. And then at the end of all that, you still have not only them not standing, but then something else that Nancy Pelosi did. You know what she did. But let me give you another example where the president tried to put something in front of them for her and the fellow Democrats to get up out of your chair and applaud and recognize this is our country and our fellow Americans we're trying to support.
The unemployment rate for African Americans, Hispanic Americans, and Asian Americans has reached the lowest levels in history. African American youth unemployment has reached an all-time low. African American poverty has declined to the lowest rate ever recorded. The unemployment rate for women reached the lowest level in almost 70 years, and last year women filled 72% of all new jobs added.
So did they stand at any of those as he talked about the accomplishments to help black Americans? Did the Democrats stand and applaud those numbers and relish in the fact that fellow Americans are doing better? No, they didn't. Did they do it when they talked about the women? They were all for hashtag Me Too and all for women. Did they applaud them? No, they did not. No, what it all came down to is when the president finished, still standing up there, the crowd applauding, Nancy Pelosi takes his speech and begins to rip it up. Comment coming into my Facebook accounts, as you know, you can text through the program. Kevin's texting in reference to what Nancy did. He said it was a perfect display of arrogant ignorance. Boy, do I agree with that. Still another one. Let me get it refreshed here as they have more coming in. Won't be able to read all of them, but another one also talking about how Nancy Pelosi ripped up that speech last night. P. Diane had been on for a while. Said her behavior, speaking about Nancy, is despicable, so unbecoming of her office. I can't understand how her constituents can possibly keep her in that position after the last 2 years doing nothing. Excellent point. And then again, one other time they would not stand last night when the president honored one of the last surviving Tuskegee Airmen. We'll have that story when we continue.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA.
Before I talk about the praise President Trump bestowed last night on the last surviving member of Tuskegee Airmen, and the arrogant, ignorant response of the Democrats, who wouldn't even stand and applaud him and his accomplishments. Jay-Z is speaking out about what happened during the national anthem, about him sitting on his butt. Remember Jay-Z with his rock star group? It had a contract with the NFL. They were going to do the halftime shows, and he said, I want to use these as a way to bring more attention to the plight of who knows what. It's a mixed message every time. But then Jay-Z and Beyonce with their daughter were seen seated during the national anthem. Everyone else around them, while Demi Lovato was performing the Star Spangled Banner, was standing. They just stayed seated. And I think the heat got to him. I think it did, and I hope it continues to get tougher for him. He said, we were not engaging in a silent protest. It actually wasn't. Sorry. That's what he wants you to believe. I'm sorry. It was not premeditated at all. But in my job as Rock Nation Corporation and our partnership with the NFL, I was paying attention to the performance and if everything was going right and everything. And you couldn't stand while you did that? Are we supposed to believe that you're so addled and so one mind that you can't do two things at once, like maybe stand for the national anthem while you're watching it being performed? He said, no, we were sitting there and talking about the performance. Well, then why are you doing that during the national anthem? He said, we'd never put our young daughter in a position of being part of such a protest. He said, actually, we're making the biggest, loudest protest of all because, given the context, I didn't have to make a silent protest. We were making it on the field with our presentation. But I was jumping into artist mode. I'm looking at the show. Did our mic start? Was it too low? Too many speakers? I think the pressure got put on him, and I'm glad. Now we need to put the pressure on Democrats like Nancy Pelosi and others. Last night, during the State of the Union, President Trump introduced a 13-year-old, an eighth grader from Arizona. He said this young man has graduated the top of his class in aerospace career education, which is supported by the Tuskegee Airmen Incorporated. And Ian's always enjoyed or dreamed to go into space. He wants to be the first to do that. And he said his greatest hero of all is his great-grandfather, Charles McGee. And then President Trump honored his grandfather, his great-grandfather.
Charles McGee was born in Cleveland, Ohio, one century ago. Charles is one of the last surviving Tuskegee Airmen, the first black fighter pilots, and he also happens to be Ian's great-grandfather. Incredible story. After more than 130 combat missions in World War II, he came back home to a country still struggling for civil rights, and went on to serve America in Korea and Vietnam. On December 7th, Charles celebrated his 100th birthday. A few weeks ago, I signed a bill promoting Charles McGee to Brigadier General, and earlier today, I pinned the stars on his shoulders in the Oval Office. General McGee, our nation salutes you. Thank you, sir.
That was outstanding last night. Outstanding. The last surviving member of the Tuskegee Airmen, there with his great-great-grandson. Democrats were not standing. They were not applauding. They were not applauding and accepting this. You talk about the hate that exists from the left. This man being one of the first African-American military aviators in our U.S. Armed Forces. As the president pointed out, during World War II, black Americans in many U.S. states were still subject to the Jim Crow laws. And when they came back, they had to face them all over again, even though they'd fought for this country. the president promoting him and then pinning the stars on him last night in advance of the State of the Union. That, for me, would be a cause and reason to stand and shout approval and applaud as loudly and as long as they would let me for what the president did in honoring what he had done. But the left continue to sit on its butt. They're going to pay. The vote will be coming out of the Senate a little bit later today. The impeachment will be done. No impeachment. The president will be acquitted, not guilty. Back here tomorrow, same time, same place. Book it.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.